Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a series entitled Great Grace. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
We went into in previous messages asking the question, what is this grace? What is this favor? And one of the big things we saw is that God's presence with us is His grace upon us, His favor upon us. When we come into a situation and God's presence is there before we get there, and we go to talk and He just calls us to know what to say, and He causes them to, His presence comes on them and they see us in a different light. His presence in the situation with us, that's His favor, that's His grace. And we also begin to talk, ask the question and answer it, what's our part? What must I do to obtain greater grace in my life? And the first thing we've seen is that if you please Him more, you'll have more grace on your life. There are degrees of grace beyond what we've experienced. Some people leave the idea that if you really follow God all the way, you're going to have more trouble with the devil than you've ever had before. But it's unscriptural. How about this scripture? We looked at this. And again, go get the materials. Don't take my word for it. Get them and search the scriptures out. How many remember the scripture that said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he has more trouble with the devil than he's, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with them. Glory. The more you please the Lord, even people that want to hurt you, even the enemy that's trying to do things to you, the Bible said the Lord will make them. Don't you like the sound of that? He make them. You got so much grace on you that your enemies just keep finding other things to do except bother you. So pleasing Him more will cause you to experience greater grace in your life. Do you have a desire to please Him more? Everybody pray it out right where you are. Pray it out loud. Say, Father God, I want to know what pleases You in my life for me to do. I ask You, show me what pleases You, and by Your grace, I'll pursue it and do it. Thank You, Lord. And if You will, you'll receive greater grace. Now let's go on to another part of the answering the question, what must I do to obtain greater grace? Go to James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 6. James 4 and 6 says, but He, God, gives more grace. So here in this verse, He's specifically talking about more grace. He gives more grace. Wherefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who's going to get grace? Not the proud. The proud are not going to get the grace. In fact, they'll get resisted. Can you see that is the opposite of grace? I mean, when grace is on you and going before you, you are accepted, you are favored, you are helped. This is the opposite. The proud are not graced and they are not favored. They are resisted. So this is a huge part of having more grace or less grace, how proud one is or how humble one is. And if you want more grace, you must grow in humility. Now, you just say the word humble humility. And in so many, even Christians' mind, their thoughts go off on all kind of tangents that are not right. So many people don't really know what humility is. They've got these goofy ideas about what humility is. Some people think humility is self-degradation, running yourself down. Oh, I'm nothing. Oh, no. And the thing is, they really believe I do deserve the praise, but I'm going to be humble and not take it. No, that's twisted. That's deception. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are proud of how humble they are. I know as a boy, one of the first times I was going to read the Bible through. I'd never done it, and so I'm going to start in Genesis and read through. And I got to Numbers, the 12th chapter, and the 3rd verse, it says, "Now the man Moses was meek above all the men that were on the face of the earth." And one of the first times the Lord spoke to me inside, I don't mean I heard a voice, but He spoke to me like He'll speak to every Christian if you'll listen. He spoke to me, my heart, He said, "Did you notice Moses was the meekest, most humble man in his generation?" I thought, "Yes, I see that." He said, "Did you also realize he's the most used man of me in his generation?" And it clicked. I thought, okay, there's a connection here between the degree of your humility and how much you get used of God. Well, can you also see how much you get used of God is how much you are graced? Same thing. How was Moses able to do all that he did? It was by the grace of God. Amen. By the favor and the hand of the Lord and the presence of the Lord with him and on him. And so I asked the Lord at that point, in my youth, teach me what humility is. Some folks say, "Oh, I wouldn't pray such a prayer." That's because you still think wrong. See, people have twisted, goofy ideas about what humility is. Jesus said, "Come, learn about me. I am meek and lowly of heart." Does that mean weak?
No.
In fact, it takes much more strength to be humble than to be proud. The proudest people are the weakest people. See, we haven't associated that in our mind. Pride and weak goes together. True humility indicates depth. It indicates strength, deep strength. That you don't have to say everything and tell everybody, and you don't have, everybody doesn't have to know what you've done and this and that. You are secure enough in God. You know Him. You know He knows. Amen. And He knows what you know. And you can smile. It doesn't matter who knows or what they know or who said. Or, you know, some things are better if they don't come out now. They'll come out later. And when they come out later, talking about good things, it'll be so much better. Their rewards beyond this life. Can you say amen? Now, go with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew 20, and I'm going to ask a question. And I'm going to believe the Lord to answer it from the Word. Is favor fair? Is favor fair? F-A-I-R. Is favor fair? Matthew 20. And let's see. Verse 1. Jesus is ministering and teaching. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder." Some say, translations say landowner. "Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers," everybody say agreed.
Agreed.
This is contract language. They had an agreement for a penny a day. Now that don't sound like much to us because we think of a copper coin. but others bring out that it was a silver coin, a denarius. It was the standard wage for a day of labor. You know, years ago, people worked, it was the average, a common thing, people work a dollar a day. I'm talking about years ago. So the comparison is whatever a normal day's wage. They agreed. And he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you go also to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Now they had no contract. They had no agreement. They don't know what they're going to get paid. They are going by faith. Because he said, what's he going to pay them? He said, whatever is right. Right according to who? Him. So they don't know if they're going to get a dime or if they're going to get $100. They don't know. No agreement. No contract. The first ones had a contract. These got no contract. Verse 5, and he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. In other words, he did the very same thing two more times there. He said, well, go on and work, and whatever is right, I will pay you whatever is right. Right according to who? Him. And so they went and they worked. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and he said to them, why stand ye here all day idle? This is talking about a 12-hour day. They're working from daylight till dark. And it's an hour before dark. And they said, well, nobody has hired us. No man has hired us. He said, well, you go also into the vineyard. Go on. And whatever is right, that shall you receive. So they went out by faith too. No contract. Everybody say no contract. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. And he began from the last unto the first. The last man he hired, men that worked 1 hour. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, that means a full day's wage for an hour's work. Say it out loud. A full day's wage,
full day's wage.
For an hour's work.
For an hour's work.
That is favor. That is grace. Because they didn't earn a full day's pay. They didn't work a full day. And yet they got paid for a whole day. Work an hour, get paid for a day. That's favor. That's grace.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Great Grace, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.
Thanks be to God.
Be to God who gives me